So, we ready?
Uh-huh.
I've hit the button. Uh-huh. We're now live.
Uh-huh.
Hi, I'm Russ.
I'm Sean.
I'm Michaela.
And we're two dads.
And I'm also Michaela.
We love watching
and talking about
movies. On this podcast, we're chatting about the 1999 film Galaxy Quest. We've been watching movies together since we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
That's me.
Now, 34 years later, we're back in the basement.
Russ's basement.
In this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words.
Forget actors' names.
And most importantly, have fun.
And I'm here as well.
This is Just Another Review Podcast.
I like this and you like that. It's Just Another Review Podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
It is now.
We have a guest.
We have a guest. Well, we have two guests.
Well, we have two guests. Thank you very much for
a special guest and an extra special guest.
Who is our special guest?
Our special guest is Michaela.
Hello.
Hello.
Michaela everybody. Joined us on what podcast did she join us on?
Was our
Showgirls.
Favorite podcast, Showgirls.
She was so excited about that one, right?
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Oh. I don't have that clip anymore.
Oh.
No, listen, we're down. We have only a limited number of clips.
Right, you did warn me about this.
And that
usually
one,
you're just like so on it with your clips.
I know. And if I had that one, I would have played it. But you know,
that one
takes over.
You know what you could do.
That one takes over.
And also, Michaela's dog Gertie is here as well.
Yay. Yes, Gertrude is with us.
What type of dog is Gertrude?
We think she's like a Boston Terrier mixed with some stuff, mm-hmm. maybe a Frenchie. Some people see pit bull in her, but she's, she's a little mixy.
100% love muffin.
She is.
And she thinks it because you adopted her late in her life.
Yes.
She thinks what?
She just, because I asked her what breed she was, and Michaela was like, well, we think.
Oh, but, right. Yeah.
So why do you just think?
She's a rescue,
why don't you,
right?
Yeah,
she's a rescue. So she's,
good for you.
Yeah, she's a little five-year-old, very distinguished lady. She's got the best nipples in town.
Ooh. Interesting.
And she hasn't seen your nipples, Sean.
Not yet.
But.
Yeah.
There's still time.
It's a whole podcast. It's early.
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest.
It's directed by Dean Parisot.
Who?
Parisot.
Who?
Yes. Parisot. Mm. He's mainly a TV director, but he has done movies, such great movies as Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Bill and Ted, is that number two?
That's number three.
Yeah.
Oh, the latest one?
Yeah.
Where they put them in those big... don't look at my...
You're the one pointing to your armpits.
Oh, I mean, they put them in big rubber suits. Didn't they?
Yes.
Didn't they have a scene where they were all buff or something?
Right.
Yes, like the Little buff Britain. Scene was freaking... Actually, I need to rewatch that movie. That was funny.
And the movie was good.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
It
compared to one and two.
Compared to two? Compared to one. It was good. Compared to a movie. It was good.
I thought it was... compared to a movie.
Well, I just mean part of the series.
Oh, sure.
It was good. If you like Bill and Ted, then you should watch it. It's stupid and funny.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
Yeah. It's great.
Right,
it was a great COVID movie.
It was a good COVID movie.
Watch at home and just enjoy yourself. He also did Red 2. I've never seen Red.
I have seen
Red. I think I know what you're talking about. Like the Bruce Willis, kind of the old.
Helen Mirren.
Yeah,
John Malkovich is in those two.
Senior citizens fighting crime kind of
thing. Yeah.
Isn't that The Expendables?
That too.
Hey guys.
Sure is.
Megan Fox is in those. She's not a senior citizen.
Hey, speaking of the Expendables, did you know that actor Rainn Wilson, who appears in Galaxy Quest, the reason why he's not more in the movie is because he actually also, which this is his first ever movie, by the way, the reason why he wasn't more in the movie, they had to write him out a little bit because he was in a flop TV show called The Expendables.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's
and what was that TV show about?
Not what The Expendables is, the movie's franchise.
Yeah, I was wondering why I wanted to see more rain in this movie. I wanted to rain more in this movie.
It's unfortunately he could never get a successful TV show.
Yeah, it's too bad. Yeah, it's too bad. Real big loss.
What was that latest one that Prime did, and it ended after one season? It was kind
of a lot of shows that
morbid.
Prime does.
Yeah. What was that? No, it was good. We reviewed it.
There's
a swear jar.
Every
True
time
Seekers?
Sean
no. Oh, secret, True Seekers.
So. No, it wasn't True Seekers.
That was
Rainn Wilson in it?
Utopia?
Fruitopia, the drink.
Yeah.
Like when you go to Subway and you get a foot long, you can also get a Fruitopia.
Do you normally get a foot long?
When we would...
That's hardcore.
I always prefer a foot long.
Okay.
Despite what they say.
That's what she said.
That's what Russ said,
actually.
I used to get Fruitopia all the time. When Fruitopia first came out when we were in high school, and we would go to either Subway for lunch... or the pizza or Lee's chicken.
Or 7-Eleven, right?
Or, wow, was that lunch?
Well, I mean, taquitos. Depends what you stole from there, right, Russ?
That was the smoke in the back and eat Slurpees with sour keys inside of it.
You, do you eat a Slurpee or do you drink a Slurpee?
I eat it because it's frozen. Do you do the little spoon? I do the spoon. Oh, back in the day, for sure.
You remember the spoon?
And I would walk around the store and get like the 5-cent candies and throw it in my Slurpee. And then so I would just pay for the Slurpee, but they'd have no idea I'd have a bunch of candy inside.
Nice, yeah, and full chocolate. He'd hide full chocolate bars in there too. Just pull them out. He's like, well, the wrapper is still good.
That was my. I did have an issue of like, unfortunately, as a kid, stealing things from convenience
stores. Oh, it was a little rebellious phase you had.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about you. You were a little
klepto. I did get caught by a store owner and I felt really bad.
Did you do it again after that? Okay,
no, I stopped after that. Yeah,
I was there too. I remember. Yeah, he locked the door.
He locked the door on me. Yeah, and we were. I think he knew.
Did he call the cops?
No.
No, but he like grabbed me and pushed me against the wall. But he, I think he knew because I had probably done it like prior. So he was like eyeing me. Because, you know, how stealthy really are you as a kid?
No.
You have no idea what you're doing. Sketchy. You think you're like probably being like a top spy assassin. And he's like, oh, it's a fucking kid again. I know.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So yeah.
That would be enough to scare
some. He scared
me. Yeah, he learned his lesson.
Yeah. And it wasn't like I would, you know, these 10 cent. 27 things.
I think it was a magazine.
Yeah, okay, it was a magazine.
Fact check.
I was really trying to go under the radar there, Sean. Thanks very much for calling me out on that.
Well, I learned something new about you today. I didn't know.
Klepto Russ.
Yeah, just a little. We go through these stages in life where you have to learn a lesson. Tim Allen did in this movie called Galaxy Quest. He plays Jason Nesmith,
Tim Allen. Tim Allen, strange choice.
Sorry, yeah, I am. I'm running out of juice in the sound machine here. Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about Tim Allen, Sean.
Tim Allen? Mm. Tim Allen had a little run with the that Home Improvement show, and I guess he was a drug smuggler back in the day, too. Mm-hmm. I guess back in the day, he used to, college or university, he used to sell a little bit of dope, and a little bit of dope turned into a little bit of more, and turned into 650 kilograms of cocaine that he got caught with. So he's up for 3 to 7 years in jail, and he ratted out some bigger-time cocaine dealers, and so he got a shortened sentence. I think he still got 3 years, but with good behavior and information, I think he got that down to 2 years and 4 months, I believe. He spent some jail time and used that as a learning experience for himself as well, I guess. And after that, he turned himself around and went straight into stand-up comedy after that. I guess he was like doing stand-up comedy research and stuff like that while in prison and stuff like that. So,
and I think he says that based on his sense of humor and his ability to make people laugh, he kind of skirted a lot of issues in jail as well.
Well, his original, I went down the Tim Allen rabbit hole here. His original name is Timothy.
You went down the Santa Claus chimney.
Yeah. His original name is Timothy Dick.
Okay.
Oh.
Right.
So he didn't have a chance.
No. So he said he changed his last name due to a lot of hazing and teasing as kids are in school and stuff like that. So he became Tim Allen. But he said because of that experience, he learned how to really be quick-witted and brush things off and come back with a quick joke. And he said that was definitely a catalyst to his comedic learnings.
If you can survive jail, you can survive Hollywood.
Yeah, or if you can have the last name of Dick and survive.
Yeah.
Although I don't think many people do. They probably change them.
I mean, now, though, I feel like it's...
Like, how many Dicks do you know?
My uncle's Dick.
Oh, that's his first name, though, isn't it?
No, it's actually not. His first name is Richard.
Oh, but yeah, the whole... Dick. Yeah.
Okay, but I'm talking about last names.
Every single person named Richard is, like, is really sick of the whole Dick.
Yeah, what up, Dick?
Yeah, Dick.
Speaking of my neighbor...
Do we have the coins for that? Or is it,
no, I think Dick is just an anatomy, right?
Stop saying it. Word.
Anatomy?
What? let's move on. Who else is
no, I remember as a kid.
Tim Allen.
Watching now we're back Home to Russell's kids.
Yes.
Oh, no, no.
And hey, thinking Tim Allen was cool because of the whole like history of jail thing and drug use.
You didn't think that was cool?
Like he, you know, playing the dad in a sitcom, you would probably just be like, oh, it's just another growing pains Alan Thicke kind of thing. But no, you're like, no, this guy's cool, man.
He was the rebellious dad that he like caused all the shit. Normally it's the kids that cause the shit in the show, but it was him.
I just remember it adding to the whole Tim Allen mystique and then him just being like a super cool guy.
My experience with Home Improvement was like watching
he snorts coke. I think he's cool.
I never knew the jail bit until I was like an adult, like because when we were watching Home Improvement, it was just like with the family, like after school or whatever. And but I remember talking to it with my parents, and my dad said similar stuff where he was like, "Yeah, he went to jail." And when we were watching the show with you guys as kids, we were always watching to make sure that it was still
appropriate.
Really
interesting.
But it always stayed.
It had an super edge.
Yes,
you're like, "Oh, that show's got an edge." Well, it doesn't.
What's actually that neighbor gonna do?
Oh, yeah.
One day, maybe he'll jump over the fence.
Little gimmicks of what made shows popular. Do you think this is the like the heyday of Tim Allen in this movie? Like,
I think this is the end of his heyday.
Yeah.
Well, no, Santa Claus came out after this, didn't it?
No, before. Okay. Santa Claus is before.
Okay.
Yeah. No, then I would say that this is the peak. This is the best thing he ever did. And I'd say, yeah. The
end over Home heyday. Improvement?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this? He's got 100%. Santa Claus in 94. He's got Toy Story 1 in 95.
This over Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, oh yeah.
This over Buzz Lightyear.
Yes.
Buzz Lightyear.
This Bud Lightyear.
Like his character. Like she said, this is his Bud best Light. Work.
Ooh, I think this is his best work. I think, and we might get into this later. I can like tease it though. The reason is. The reason that I would say that this is the best thing he ever did is because of the depth of the character. Mm. You kind of go into this knowing, oh, this is the shallow William Shatner style character. But it is not. It is much more than that. And there's a few moments.
Oh, it's Tim Allen. It's Tim Allen doing Tim Allen things.
Tim Dick.
Being Tim Dick.
And he's solid. He's fit in this movie, too.
Yes.
And probably because he knew he had a shirtless scene.
And here's another tidbit. They knew that there is a shirtless scene. And his physical trainer for this ended up being his wife. So no wonder he got so fit.
No doubt. He was trying to impress a girl, right?
Yeah.
But it's not the end of the career of Tim Allen. He does like a TV show called Last Man Standing, which I'm sure none of us have seen.
No, it's one of those Netflix.
He did
Netflix
that for 10 years.
10 years that what? Shit was on for?
Yeah, that, it's not a Netflix
Fuck
thing. I think it off. Maybe it is now.
10 years?
Now he's I'm on shocked. The Santa Clauses.
Oh,
is he actually acting on it?
Yeah, no, that's okay. A show still. Maybe he was that might be on Disney Plus or something.
Oh. Like. Yeah, Disney's got that.
Yeah, so he's still like he's all right. Acting.
Maybe I shouldn't talk working. About him.
He's
like
not
he's
ready
done.
To retire, is he? Yeah.
Well, he's done for us.
Well, here's another tidbit. They they also talked about
quit petting your dog. Talking to
sorry,
the microphone.
Sorry. She's so cute.
She's not going anywhere.
I know. I just want to make sure she's okay at
Are
all
you
times.
Okay, Gertie.
You know? They talked about doing a sequel. That was Sean,
to this?
Not my dog. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then they as late as 2021. Like so, Alan Rickman passed away. Rest in peace. That was tragic. In 2016, and they had always talked about doing a sequel to Galaxy Quest, but when he passed away, they kind of stopped in their tracks, knowing that like it was such an iconic character, they couldn't recast, and they weren't sure they could do a sequel without Alan Rickman.
Well, other than Mathazar, I think it was Alan Rickman that was the next best thing in this movie.
Oh,
you know
God.
What I mean? Like,
so
if Tim Allen might have been the headliner, but he certainly. You know, you weren't watching Tim Allen in this movie, from my perspective, anyways.
I think
maybe you were
good.
When his shirt came good. Off, but we'll get into that. Who else is in this movie? We've talked a lot about Tim Dick.
Speaking of people that we have no idea where they are today, Sigourney Weaver is in it.
Okay.
As Gwen DeMarco. Just kidding. Sigourney Weaver's in the most popular movie of all time, Avatar.
Avatar. Russ loves Avatar.
And most, and Aliens.
Aliens.
Yes, I was just
going
to say, let's talk about Aliens, not Avatar. Please.
What?
Russ loves Avatar. Sorry.
You swore. That's okay. Yeah. Feel free. First you don't have to hold it back. Don't
made
hold
like
your punches.
Billions of dollars.
Yeah, but it's not. It's just
great.
Not good.
Yes. Okay, no. It's good, but
okay,
I don't think
it's not
great.
I'm just telling you, it's the biggest movie of all time. That's all I'm telling you. I'm just telling you facts.
That's fine.
You guys can give me your opinions. Okay. I'm just telling you facts.
That's fine.
Just because something's been hyped up for like two decades and everybody goes to see it doesn't mean it's.
I think the original Tron is one of the greatest movies of all time.
Solid choice.
Okay, but I don't think a lot of people agree with me on that.
Objectively, you're
so.
Okay.
So much for my punchline.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Thanks for finally working.
How important is it to have Sigourney Weaver in this movie?
Well, here's the thing is that when Harold Ramis was, he was the original director.
Oh, okay.
He did not want Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, because, Harold Ramis.
Yes.
Oh.
So he was, Harold Ramis was the original director on the project. Mm. And during the time he wanted to do like more of an a la Spaceballs sort of slapstick comedy with the script that they had at the time. And then he didn't want any actors who had previously done sci-fi. So Sigourney Weaver actually begged to do the part and Harold said no.
Interesting. And then she showed him his boobs and said, okay.
She said, here's green my, lit. That's actually not her real boobs.
Really?
She's wearing a breastplate. Yeah.
Oh. Have you seen Alien? Have you seen the movie Alien?
Yeah, well, I didn't know. I mean, come on. Actresses, they get changes. Changes.
Sigourney Weaver now. No, only that she's probably one of the most important female protagonists in the sci-fi genre.
Yes, yes.
And so to have her in this playing like against type of someone who is like playing a character from a TV show where she was only there to repeat what the computer said. And then knowing that like the commentary of that, but also knowing who she is, she's Ripley. She's whatever character she is in Avatar. Very important, Sean.
I just found it funny. What's the word like meta for this where she's playing and complaining about, oh, I know I'm just, you know, I'm just eye candy throwing my boobs out here. And she's complaining all like as her character in this movie about that role the whole time. Yet in Galaxy Quest, that's her role.
Yes.
Other than obviously, no, it gets deeper. But, you know, for the first half of the movie, I just found it kind of funny how she's complaining in the movie. But yet Galaxy Quest is doing the exact same thing right now.
Did you clock too that the only other female character is I think her name is Lilania, the alien.
The squid girl,
yes. So there is the, and I'm just gonna start with it, my only mark against this movie is lack of,
but it like calls itself out almost.
It does,
you know, but it doesn't recognize it, but it's, you know, if you look deep, it's like it's funny how it's calling that out, but it's doing the exact same.
And Sigourney Weaver talked about when she, because she begged to do this movie, Ramis said no, and then the new director came on, and she was able to get on the movie. She said she felt she was playing a character that was true to her, like experience being a sci-fi actor as a woman in that industry in a very male-dominated space. So for her, it was just like a total dream. And there's a lot of.
But do you think there was any character resolution in Galaxy Quest for her to? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be like, hey, I'm going to do this, but to show that that's not all I am. But yeah, I don't think the character did too much of like a 180.
She definitely commented
a bit of it. Yeah.
But yeah, fair enough.
And obviously it becomes an important thing than just talking to the computer at the end. And then at the end, when they need the computer and she's the only one that can talk to it, you know, like,
it's stupid, but I'm going to do it. So good.
Is it the idea of the whole boob commentary, a Jeri Ryan thing based on Star Trek? So Jeri Ryan being an actress from Star Trek, Voyager.
Okay.
It was all about her outfit.
It's a direct reference.
It's a direct reference.
Oh, yeah. She was that blonde with the giant boobs.
Come on now.
Why can't I say that?
You can say boobs.
Michaela, can I say boobs? Can I talk about boobs?
I think I've already said nipples.
Can you talk about boobs?
I like boobs.
That's okay.
I'm a boob guy.
Yeah, that's all right.
Speaking of boob guy, Alan Rickman is in this.
Woohoo! Rest in peace, Alan Rickman.
What a legend.
Yeah.
Love
So
him.
I was trying to do some funky math in my head, and I believe he didn't start acting till he was in his late 40s.
Why can't you get me to?
And so he was in Die Hard, and that was in
funky math.
mid-80s, right?
Yes.
So when he's doing Harry Potter in that in like 2010s, is he 70 years old almost?
No. I think he was he was a stage actor. I'm going to have to look
So maybe he was younger than they said he was when he started.
But I think
he must be.
I think there are Hollywood actors who are known to start their careers later on in life.
What I mean is I think he looked a bit younger than his age near the end maybe?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Yeah. I'd have to look into it.
Because I'm thinking if he was 40 in the mid 80s, but you know, he's still doing Harry Potter's probably into his 60s.
You might be right. He must have been a lot older than what he was putting out there.
I feel like it. Anyways,
he was born. Here we go.
Fact
1946.
Check.
He was born.
46.
So Die Hard is 88. So it's like you know, so that's what, 40 years?
42, right?
Yeah. So he's like 40. Yeah.
So he was 42 in 80.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So then, so, and this is
42, 2 years, 20 years later, 60? 2002, he's 62, and no, they're still doing Harry 50. Potter's.
99, 10 plus, 88 plus 10.
Oh my God. I did not come here this morning oh, to yeah, do
and,
math.
In 2008, he was 62. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. And they're still doing Harry Potter's then, weren't they? Check that
the black wig helped, I think,
yeah,
the, to help.
Yeah, de-age. And I'm sure they had a great makeup.
So Harry Potter, yes. The Deathly Hallows Part 2,
yes,
is came out in 2011. Gotcha. Is that, and I assume that's spoiler the last. Alert,
he dies in that movie.
What?
Snape?
Yeah. Okay, so let's add, so he was 65 years old then.
Underestimated Snape. You think he's a bad guy, but he's actually a pretty nice guy.
I don't know. We could do wasn't a whole it, other
didn't
podcast
it, didn't it
on
flip
that.
Flop on that? I'm not it a did. Harry Potter guy, but wasn't it, like, you thought he was bad at first?
Yes.
He's just stern. And then it's like, oh, he's a good guy. And then yes. He ended up being bad at the end?
There's a lot of different debate on it, but that's a whole other conversation.
No, please go.
I would like to say, actually, that Dumbledore was the biggest dick in that whole series.
Dumbledore's a dick.
Is he the big giant guy?
No, that's he's the Hagrid. Wizard. He's the you oh. Don't even know who Dumbledore is.
The issue with Dumbledore isn't that he knows everything, but he still makes people go through
Yes,
like he could have told everybody everything.
Oh what yeah, was gonna straight up child abuse over the right. course of the entire right. series. Yeah. Yes.
Whoa, we're getting okay. a little too okay. deep. Let's circle back to Galaxy.
You know who my
Quest.
Favorite character in this movie is?
Oh, Sam Fredquad.
Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell is like one of anything he's in, he's like one of my favorites. Yeah. I just love watching
Sean, I feel like you have a Sam Rockwell vibe.
What?
Yeah, when I first met billboards. You, I was like, you have a very Sam Rockwell vibe.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And I mean that like I love Sam Rockwell. Yeah. He is just like.
I'm going to add some coins just for that.
He's like the talented, charismatic Sean.
Yeah.
Like,
why you gotta take a good
like,
thing?
He's Arnold Schwarzenegger and I'm Danny DeVito, right?
You guys are like twins.
Twins. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just Guy in this movie, oh, right?
Yes.
You don't know his last name until the very end credits.
Right.
Which is funny.
And I love the idea of the red shirt. Because even as like a
young isn't that
Star
an
Trek
old?
Fan.
I don't even know Star Trek that well, but isn't that an old gimmick?
The
crew guys in the red shirts were the ones that died.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Well, William Shatner would take them down, and then they wouldn't. You know, the red shirts wouldn't return.
Yeah.
I don't think they were aware of it until later on, obviously, and then it became like a meta joke. Tony Shalhoub.
Shalhoub.
Thank you. As Fred Kwan, also amazing.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah,
and his character is playing up because he's Lebanese. His character is playing up with the last name Kwan. The fact that Star Trek oftentimes, or just sci-fi and movies in general, would oftentimes cast people who are not of a race as people of a certain race.
Right.
So the character, Fred Kwan, you'll notice that if they say his character's name or when he's being serious in a scene,
he squints his eyes. That's why he's doing it.
So it's actually a play on a Lebanese guy playing what might be an Asian guy.
I thought he was just trying to be like,
no,
it was his character.
That's the thing is he not only is he playing a guy who was cast as an Asian guy, he's also playing a guy who, and there's rumor that he was stoned whole movie.
Right.
But he's, his character was...
Right, because someone asks him third act while they're escaping, like, are you stoned?
Yes, yeah. And you'll notice...
I was like, where did that come
from? He's got snacks in a lot of scenes. He's always munching.
And he's like, everyone's freaking out the whole time, and he's just like taking everything in stride.
Oh, yeah, like, he's just so chill. Also, that's why. Man.
Yeah, so there's...
Oh, I think I might have to add a point to my score here.
So good. Add a point for
Fred. I might add half a point. We'll see.
So
we'll
good.
Add a point for Tony.
Okay.
Mathazar. I was going to ask, who played Mathazar?
Enrico.
This guy is classic. The best.
I knew him from Veronica Mars.
Oh, show stealer Mathazar, I think.
Oh,
it was
so
my favorite
good.
Character in this whole movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when he did his audition.
We need your help.
Oh, classic. That you just said, all of the characterization of the Thermians is credited to Enrico.
Okay.
So when he went in for his audition, he did a first take and they were like, I don't really know. And then as he was kind of walking out, he turned around and said, you know what? I've been working on this like voice. And he did the voice. And then the casting director ended up actually showing his footage to other people who were auditioning to play aliens. This voice? Can you do this?
Nice.
And so he sort of is credited with,
Do you know where what country Enrico was from?
Spain?
Canada.
Nice. Yeah, good old Canadians.
Daryl Mitchell is in here as Tommy Weber.
Who's Tommy Weber?
He's the kid who grows up.
Yes.
He's no longer a kid.
Right, yes, yes. The pilot. Yes, Tommy the pilot, right.
Missy Pyle is here as Malaria. Malaria?
Right. Lalaria, I think.
Lalaria?
Squid Girl?
Lalaria, something like
I
that.
I don't know. It's written.
She killed that role,
She's too. Jane Doe, her credit, her name in the... At the end, they put her in the new Galaxy Quest and they give her the name. It says Jane Doe.
Is somebody that I've always like really like admired.
She's in a lot of Tim Burton movies, isn't she?
She's in a lot of Tim Burton movies. She also...
She does like the quirky, irate neighbor role. Kind of. The snoopy neighbor role really well.
And also like in Dodgeball, actually with Justin Long, who's also in this movie, she plays the German with the unibrow and like the crazy player on on Ben
the bad
Stiller's
guy's
team. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and she kills it. She's a very funny physical vocal actor.
Yeah, and Justin Long, I was like, saw him for a second, and I was like, oh, he's got a little cameo, and then you realize, oh, he's got a little bit more than a cameo.
Yeah. And this is his first appearance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're right, Lalaria is what's her name.
Malaria.
I don't know why I wrote Malaria.
Can we just call her Malaria from now on?
All right. That's,
numbers.
That's
tell us
the
about
movie.
This. How did this movie do? Was it successful?
Well, it cost
it
$45 million. It made $90 million worldwide.
Damn.
So it did well.
It did do well.
Congratulations, Galaxy Quest. You're not just for nerds.
Mm. Do you want to get into it?
Sure.
Now, do you want to precursor this a little bit?
That I don't have a synopsis?
That we don't have a synopsis, that we're just winging it?
Well, because we wanted, you know, this was planned, obviously, that we didn't have a synopsis, but we wanted just to have a general conversation about Michaela's favorite movie.
This is your favorite movie.
It's in my, like, top three, I would
judgy.
Say.
No, I'm just saying, is this number one? Favorite. Is this fucking number one here, Russ?
It's in my top three. It's really, really tough to... Well,
what's your other three?
Yeah, I don't think two? If someone said, what is your favorite movie? I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, it's really Fury tough. Road.
I think I'd give really you about tough. Five.
Did you say Mad Max?
Fury Road.
That's your favorite movie? I haven't even seen that movie.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch it.
Oh, what?
Yeah. I'll add it to my list.
Great. I could watch it a million times, that movie.
I think Russ allowed me to come back because last time I was here, I was mostly angry at Russ for making me watch Showgirls the whole time.
Well,
so I said, whatever movie you want.
Whatever. And I chose Galaxy Quest.
Nice.
I will allow it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your other two favorite movies?
Pan's Labyrinth is really high up there for me.
Well, I haven't seen that forever.
It's one of those movies that will always stick with me. And then what else? You're going to have to come back to me. Okay. I'll come back to it later.
That's fine. It's a really tough question that I don't imagine anybody other than Rust can just say it right away.
Yeah.
Mad Max Fury
Road. So definitive. You said that. No.
Yeah.
See, he can't even give. He's swaying. Now
it's Shaun of the Dead. Mad Max Fury Road.
Shaun of the Dead is also in my Shaun of the Dead. And Hot Fuzz. They're both.
What are you
in
doing?
She's pooing.
She's pooing. She's showing her dog how to poo. Her dog hasn't been pooing lately.
Yeah.
This is how you do it in the backyard.
Is your dog constipated?
No, the opposite, actually. Her poops are liquidy.
Oh.
Yes, but I've been feeding her pumpkin.
Diarrhea. Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. She's okay. She's okay.
Pumpkin's good if they have diarrhea. Pumpkin doesn't cause
He wasn't disagreeing
diarrhea.
With that.
Great.
Why are you guys arguing about my dog?
I'm not arguing. I'm just looking at him like I don't like him.
We're supposed to be talking about Galaxy Quest.
Russ just sharted. Are we going to try and explain this movie to people?
I don't care.
Say nobody's watched this movie before. They're like, okay, I like
nobody's
your podcast,
watched this movie before.
But I rely on you guys to tell me what this movie is about.
This movie is about... You guys ever watched Star Trek with William Shatner? The fact that people would invite William Shatner and the rest of the cast to conventions... Because it became more popular as the show came off the air.
Mm.
And it became a cult following, just like the show Galaxy Quest in the movie Galaxy Quest. Is that what the show was called in Galaxy Quest? Right.
It's called called Galaxy
the show
Quest.
Is called, yeah.
It's a hat.
So super, super meta, right? Isn't that what they call meta?
Yeah.
What, yeah. I don't know.
It's like, you know,
I'm just trying to be cool.
It's like a show that's commenting the fact that it's a show. It's like
in a show.
In a show.
Show in a show.
And when it should just be like genuine, like Showgirls.
Oh my god.
It's very real.
So there he's at a convention. Tim Allen's at a convention with his crew. Real aliens who have watched Galaxy Quest thinking it was real life, historical documents, have come to Earth needing Tim Allen's help.
Jason, we need your help. You are Commander Taggart, you come help us defeat Cyrus. Translator's broken. So, we have your limousine.
So through those interactions and other fun times, they convince the crew to come with them into space, and they fight a real-life enemy.
Cyrus. Lizard. He's like a space lizard.
Yeah.
Cyrus. Yeah.
Cyrus. Sorry. Yeah. Cyrus, space lizard spider guy.
Because Cyrus wants the Omega 13, which is kind of like the MacGuffin of the movie.
What is the Omega 13? Do we know by this point?
Well, it was introduced in the final episode of Galaxy Quest, so there was never a true... They just knew it was a powerful tool?
Yes, it was a cliffhanger in the actual TV series, right. So nobody actually knew.
Mm. So it was like the tease caused this like intergalactical... tension.
Yes, how the Thermians developed the Omega 13 without knowing what it was is a bit of a plot hole, but we won't go too hard on them.
So Tim Allen gets swept up into space by space aliens who think he's a proper captain.
Right.
They've researched their show as historical documents. They've
rebuilt the NSEA protector.
Yeah. They've completely rebuilt their society based on the Galaxy Quest TV series.
Yeah.
They think it's real.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to emulate humanity this way, right? They're a squid population. Okay, go.
I thought we just did it.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just trying to wrap it.
That was really good.
Yeah, so Tim Allen comes up. Right,
comes up into the ship.
Fires a couple missiles into the bad guy.
Yep.
Thinks he's going to get paid. Thinks it's all a performance. Thinks it's a gig. Yep. And asks to be sent back home.
Realizes it's real life.
Yeah, and finally when he decides to go home and the transportation way home is a big jelly bean through space, right?
Yes. Yeah, the big jelly bean.
Yeah. End of the first act.
Did
yeah.
you guys or notice
first part.
The aspect ratio change in the film?
Mm-hmm. No, I was waiting for it because I know at the beginning it was all 4x3 square.
Yes, so it's 4x3 and then it goes to the like regular or the, what is it? I wrote it down. 1.85:1. And then the moment when Tim Allen's character, when Jason sees space,
right.
And he's in the jelly bean,
yeah.
It actually expands cool. to like widescreen. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
And so the, a little tidbit, the Dean, the director, Dean Parasot, he ends up saying what a shitty idea that was, because in movie theaters when it was playing, unless they provided the movie theater with like written notes on how to adjust the curtains, they were actually missing the widescreen because they'd set it up for the kind of standard size. So anyways, it's when you're watching it on like DVD or whatever, you can notice it goes from, you know, teeny tiny to, you know, your standard to your widescreen.
It's like a Chris Nolan movie. He likes to flip-flop between IMAX and sort of standard the aspect ratio. But after a while, you don't notice it. And all of a sudden, you're kind of like, oh, it's a little bit bigger. And like, oh, it's a little bit smaller. And I know he does it tastefully that I don't even really notice it anymore. And I mean, I think now because he gets to shoot the entire thing on IMAX now.
Yes.
He doesn't switch formats anymore.
No.
It's just all IMAX now.
But it is an artistic choice by some directors to
do that. So the comment or the idea was that it was his eyes opening up to reality.
Right.
And this now becomes
Makes sense. Sigourney Weaver's a blonde in this movie. Do blondes have more fun? Do we even know this?
I wouldn't know. I've never been.
Mm.
You're a dirty blonde.
Yeah, you're a dirty
blonde. I was much blonder back in the day. Yeah, so?
Did you have more fun back then?
I think so. Now it's not so much fun anymore.
Well, I had blonde darker tips my hair. In my hair at one point.
Did you frost those
tips? Yeah,
you frosted his tips.
I was having fun then.
Nice.
Yeah, so you might be right.
Hmm. Did it give you a little sparkle of fun?
Just a sparkle. Just a little sparkle.
Sparkle motion.
The moment when they come up, when the rest of the crew joins in the jelly beans, and when Fred Kwan, he's like super chill about everything. Just that whole, and then Guy is like screaming when, upon his arrival. Just like everything in that moment, like I, no matter how many times I watch the movie, I feel like I'll watch for somebody else's different expression or experience in those types of moments. And it's, everybody's golden.
Yes.
Like it's such a good character study for everybody.
Yes. And probably why this movie really holds up, because everybody is doing an amazing performance.
Yes.
I love how much Alan Rickman hates his character, yet when he's at home, he leaves his prosthetics on and and he's talking about people with mental illness and problems like that while he's still continuing to wear his, you know, his prosthetics at home. Yeah. I don't think he ever comes out of character. Yeah.
And again, another meta thing is Alan Rickman didn't want to do the movie.
Yes.
Oh, really?
So he had to be kind of convinced because he was like this theatrical actor.
Yes. Oh, perfect. So he just inject all that emotion into the role.
Totally.
And came out perfect, right?
Further to that, on set, Alan Rickman got very annoyed with Tim Allen, who was constantly making like fart jokes and being...
Like, could you imagine if that's all you heard all day?
Yes.
Okay, Tim, it was funny like the first 10 times, but you know, it's not funny anymore, buddy.
So their characters really, and it's genius casting because their characters, the dynamic is so real. There was a few moments apparently where like Alan Rickman would kind of off the side when Tim was having like an actual acting moment would like make snide comments about like, oh, it's probably the first time he's ever actually acted in his whole career, like that kind of stuff. So pretty funny. The dynamic definitely shines through.
Which, again, is a great connection between Tim Allen playing a William Shatner.
Yes.
Both coming from a very popular sitcom TV show.
Totally.
And then getting an opportunity to be in film.
What do you guys think about the octopuses? Do you love them? Do you hate them? Do you love the choice of the octopus?
Yeah, I think that's great. I think because, again, you're like... Every creature that they meet in Star Wars is just a humanoid creature. So like the idea of like every time you go to space, it's a Klingon and it's really just a human with a big like forehead mask. Mm-hmm. So the idea of like if you're actually going to meet a different alien, they're not going to have two arms, two legs, and like a head with a, you know, that kind of thing. So I like that.
They almost scrapped it.
Oh, really?
They almost scrapped it for a humanoid alien about 3 weeks before production. And they were like, these are too ugly. They're not going to be able to, like, people are going to think they're gross. But I'm so glad they stayed in. They're freaking hilarious.
I was watching it, I think, with too much of, like, a pragmatic sense at first, being like, well, why are they dressed the same as they are on the show? Like, they hadn't explained it yet, right? It's like, why, you know, why do they have the same outfits? Why do the communicators look the same as, like, if they're from outer space and they developed, like, how did the show writers know that? I couldn't understand the connection until they explained, oh, we rebuilt our society based off you. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, that makes sense. Now I understand the connection, right? And then... Oh, you know, the translators and then whatever little things they had that made them appear as humans and not actually as squids and stuff like that. But yeah, I was scratching my head for a bit. Like, I was like, this is a pretty big plot gap. And then they explained it. I was like, oh, I shouldn't have even been thinking about that to begin with, right?
Yeah.
So
they did actually, the director, he originally was going, you know, when they're in the limousine before the limousine gets like... beamed up.
Right. Yeah.
So they were actually that the scene of the limousine getting beamed up was not originally planned. The director just had him wake up on the spaceship.
Yep.
But he wanted to keep it as like a vague is it a dream or is it not?
Mm.
And is this just his mind? And is this just like a Tim Allen thing?
Right, right.
Yeah. But then, that's a little too much for this movie.
Totally. But then, so retroactively, I think that's why like your desire for justification was totally valid because they hadn't originally written it that way. Mm. So then they had to start throwing in these little justification things because they no longer were leaning on it. Oh, it's just a dream.
Just a dream.
Yeah.
So they had to make it reality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a dream is kind of a cop out.
Oh, it is a super cop out.
I'm relieved that it didn't go that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, when I use my JARP rating maker, one of the categories is like, how original is the story? Yeah, Russ here is like, you feel shame. I'm going to walk him down the streets and shame him naked for not using the JARP. But one of the categories is how original is the story? And I was like, I feel like I've seen the story before. An actor being misconstrued as a hero or something like that by some other sort of naive society, and then being recruited or summoned or whatever have you to save the day against the forces of evil. And I couldn't figure out what it was, and then it is? It's the same movie. My Little Buttercup. And I realized, Three Amigos follows sort of the same vein. Last Starfighter, remember the Last Starfighter? Yeah. The kid that played the...
I think it's a genre that's played with a lot for film.
Yeah, I think there's a couple movies that take up.
I think it's usually called.
I think if you boil down any movie to its like story components...
Well, I just mean like an act... People that were actors have been misconstrued. And then, I feel this story's been done before somewhere.
Yeah, but as good as Galaxy Quest... Question mark?
No.
I guess only the ratings will see. Does this stand up to Three Amigos? Or?
excuse me. Okay. So what else happens? Well, the whole crew comes up to the ship after.
This is part two?
This is part
two. Are you ready? Let's go.
Tim Allen makes his way back to Earth and tries to convince everybody to help out. They're like, no way. But then the aliens come and they convince everybody to come because they think it's a gig. Money's money. And they all
we
go
want
to space.
A piece of the action too.
We want a piece of the action. And they all go to space and like, oh shoot. And then they end up on a planet with little alien kids that eat each other. And Tim Allen takes off his shirt. And then there's a bomb on the ship. And then they figure it out. What am I missing?
It's not a bomb on the ship. The core is melting down.
Sorry.
Yes, yes.
The self-destruct button.
Yes.
Okay, listen. Listen.
We're going to have to back up a little bit.
Which Fill is all spaceships should have a self-destruct button.
Okay.
What spaceships don't have self-destruct buttons?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, why is that always a fallback?
Yeah.
Why is there always a self-destruct?
I think they're like, yeah, because you just got to sometimes sunshine.
Maybe it falls to like a foreign alien objects and you can't bring them back to your motherland. It's like, hey, we've encountered something that we absolutely can't bring back to Earth or whatever. We got to blow everything up and sacrifice ourselves.
Or in the situation that our characters were in where Saris has... taken over the ship. Maybe there was one Thermian left who was like, I'm going to try to take out some of these Saris guys.
Yeah, there you go. It's a protective measure or something.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I believe you guys. Okay, like, I'm with you 100%.
Good. It didn't sound like it. I feel like you're always against me, to be honest.
I'm against both of you, though.
Oh.
So all the actors join in because they still think it's a gig, right? Right, right. And then they get attacked. The ship actually gets attacked by Saris here, right? And their beryllium sphere gets damaged, right? And so they need...
Is that force fields?
The sphere of energy, right? Yeah. It's their energy core.
So you have good energy.
I do. I just tried to share some... Hi, Gertie. See, I do have good energy. That's right.
You shared energy like...
She just licked my balls. Anyways, so they need to go down to the sand planet to where they've discovered some local beryllium in order to fix their beryllium sphere.
Correct.
And save their ship and maybe try and either get away or defeat Saris, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, great.
I'm just kind of filling in a couple little holes.
You're doing amazing. Michaela, anything to add?
No, nothing to add. That was a really good summary.
Yeah, great job. And this planet is where they meet the devil children.
Yes.
Right. And yes, the little the devil squid.
Miners, not miners.
Yeah,
that line would just...
Yeah. Oh, yes, these feel small.
Yeah.
Yes, they are quite small.
Yeah. Have you never watched the show?
Yeah.
And then that's where the rock creature is too, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Gorglock or Gorgonok or Gorgonok.
Grignok.
Grignok.
Because they're having some technology issues of like... bringing him on board.
Well, it's Tony Shalhoub's job to digitize people, back up to the ship. So,
beam me up, Scotty.
Exactly. To do the beaming.
Beam me up, Shalhoub.
Oh, the pig.
But the what's the name of the squid race that has
prawn
that has brought these guys on? No, we don't know. No.
The Thermians.
The Thermians. There we go. Okay. Thermians. But the Thermians have never used it yet.
Right.
They've built the tool, but they've never used it. It's up to... It's built for your hands only, or for your anatomy. You know what I mean? So he's nervous, right? He tries digitizing.
So why don't they use the same technology that they brought the other guys?
I don't know.
Like, because from Earth, they beam them up.
The jelly bean tech.
Yeah. So why don't they use the jelly bean tech to save Tim?
Because then
that would not
Fred
be exciting.
Would not have his moment.
And it would be too easy.
Yes.
And there'd be no
I'm just wondering if they're justifying that. I can't recall.
I don't know.
No, there's no justification. Yeah. I don't think there is anyways. But so
it doesn't make sense if they could beam them from Earth.
Yeah. Mm. Anyways.
Plot hole.
So Fred Kwan, so this is like, so they're on the planet, they're getting the beryllium sphere, they end up in a tussle with the aliens, they try to get away in an escape, but Jason ends up on the ground fighting the lizard pig, and they're all the little alien children are chanting Garignac, initially you think that that's the lizard pig.
Right.
However, once Fred Kwan's character does beam the lizard pig up, semi-successfully.
Not successfully. Not even semi-successful.
No.
He ends
inside out.
Exploded.
And exploded, I think is the line. Then they continue chanting a Garignac, and that is when we realize that with the help of the translator that it is they're actually chanting rock.
Rock.
Yes.
Right? The rock monster.
Yes.
Oh, not just rock and roll.
Not just rock and roll.
And then they're too young for rock and roll, Russ.
They are.
They're just minors.
They're more rap music.
And that's right.
They decided to do a rock monster in this movie. It's because William Shatner apparently really wanted to do a rock monster, and they never had a budget for it. So it's a bit of an ode with him losing his shirt and fighting the rock monster. It's a bit of a love letter to Shatner.
The whole thing. Sometimes you ask Star Trek fans what their favorite Star Trek movie is.
And they say.
And they'll say Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is a love letter to Star Trek.
Absolutely.
Sure. Why in every sci-fi movie when the ship gets attacked, the control panels explode and catch on fire and stuff like that? Like, it's just the
bad
impact.
Construction.
Yeah.
Bad construction.
Why is that always the first thing to go? And then you never really see them rebuilding them. They just kind of put them out with a fire extinguisher and it's back good to go, right?
Yeah.
I never understand that cliche.
Visual. I think it's just, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think that's all this movie did. It just played on all those cliches, right? It wasn't just mimicking. It was really making fun of all these things, right?
Oh, totally.
Right. And another thing, a little bit of a plot hole, and I guess maybe just because, I mean, obviously, because
we hate
the thermites.
Movie. Let's pick out all the bad stuff.
We're quite naive, but how the bad guy all of a sudden it took him 5 seconds watch the historical documents and realize that they were actors, and then be like, tell them who you are, you know? Yes. And I was like, how did he figure it out so easy? But they didn't.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's like, oh, well, you have to speak to them like children and say, oh, I lied, you know, and stuff like that. But yet they were smart enough to recreate all this technology and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, you can be intelligent, but you might not be wise.
That's right.
You could be maybe
socially, they were just kind of
emotionally there intelligent. And you could assume, you could make the assumption that Saris has probably invaded other, like a ton of other places, and that Saris is
more a little bit more knowledgeable of the universe.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. I'll give you that. All right.
And plot all fixed. The Thermians have always just kept to themselves. Could be. I don't think it's a fully bulletproof argument.
Right. Yet. How about Justin Long's character? Brandon was pretty funny. Oh, and so I think that could have been a kid, or it could have been a 35-year-old single man living in his mom's basement,
totally.
Too.
He looks the exact same. He hasn't aged a day.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, he was really good.
He's in Goosebumps.
Oh, is he in that new Goosebumps?
Yeah. You know where that was filmed?
Locally. Bowen Island, wasn't it?
Maple Ridge.
Oh, nice.
All over.
You know what else is filmed?
Two blocks
in Maple Ridge?
Away from this house.
The latest Drake music video.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah. Is it out now?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it was on the Pitt River, wasn't it? Some cars driving around.
I went to my friend's house in Cloverdale yesterday, and he was telling me about all the places that Hot Rod was filmed out there.
Oh, yes.
Yes. The pool that he tries to jump over is just a block away from my friend's house.
So
and I was like,
bring me back for Hot Rod.
He was like, do you know Hot Rod? And I looked at him. I'm like, it's like one of my kids' favorite movies.
So funny.
Is it appropriate for kids?
Probably not.
Are you appropriate for kids?
Probably not.
We could do Hot Rod. We can do, let's do the whole Lonely Island. Let's just talk about Lonely Island for a while.
Popstar's pretty funny too.
Don't Stop Popping. Don't Stop Stopping.
Don't Stop Stopping.
I didn't like Popstar the first time I watched it, but then I got it the second time. Maybe I was in the wrong
headspace. I don't think I was a Lonely Planet fan when I first watched Popstar.
Lonely Island, you fucking piece of
what
shit.
Did I say?
Lonely Planet.
Oh, well, whatever. Pretty close.
Definitely not. No.
Islands are on planets.
Speaking of being on planets, Galaxy Quest folks were not at the time on the planet.
No, so they were in space.
Yes, they were in space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? What else?
So they get the Brilliant Sphere and get it fixed, get back to the ship.
Great.
Right? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how do they defeat the bad guy? No, they didn't sing to him. No. They plan their comeback, right? They saved the crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, the crew was being tortured by Ceres, and they were they escaped captivity and fought back.
Yeah.
And
there's a moment when Tim Allen's character and Alan Rickman's character, they fake a fight when they're all in.
Right, right. Yes. The old, I hate you, you got me in this trouble. You fake a fight so that you can fall down and grab a blunt object and hit your captive over the head.
Classic.
Yeah.
And he actually like drops an episode, which he is actually referencing, I believe, a Star Trek episode where they use that exact tactic to get out of. So it's like so referential through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then
I think if you're a Trekkie, a lot of these things would hit hard, right? Yeah. I wasn't a Trekkie, but I feel I picked up on a lot of the nuances, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever
the guns you want to call it. That Ceres's army use. Did they look familiar to you?
The what?
The guns.
Like looks they look like they could like have been from Fifth Element.
Yes,
or something
they are. Like. Yes, are they? They are.
Oh, they reused props from Fifth Element.
Yes. So
I was just gonna say this movie had a very Fifth Element vibe, like the bad guy.
And I only realized
he's very colorful and animated.
Yes.
But very rubbery too.
Yes.
Like I like the look of him, but when he talked, you could see it was a little.
So they used over Ceres's mouth. They actually had like an articulated piece that was meant to show the expression of the actor underneath, but it was still early days for that technology. For that, actual
still looked prosthetic. Pretty good. I gave points to the costumes for the bad guy. I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was cool too. Yeah. But yes, the Subway sandwich guns are also from Fifth Element.
Nice.
Yeah. I saw them and I was like, where have I seen these before? Anyways, I went in a little bit of a weird.
That's funny. No, because I was watching it last night and I was like, this has like a Fifth Element it when does. The bad guys were around. It feels very like. When was his name Grog or Krog? Gary Oldman's character showed up with his Zorg with his band of guys. Yes. It had a very, very similar feel to it.
Yeah. Bring me back for Fifth Element.
Maybe in two movies.
Classic. Yeah. That's also in my top 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What are your other nine?
Oh, God.
No, we don't have time for that.
Multipass is what I remember. And what did that when he would always go, Mickey, my man.
Chris, my man.
What is it?
Super green.
Because I think what was Bruce Willis's character's name? Because he would say something, my man, like whatever.
It'll come to me. Anyways, different movie,
Emila Jovanic.
Timmy, my man.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Timmy, my man. Danny, my man.
Love my.
They all work.
Chrissy, my man.
Chrissy.
I don't know. Who knows?
What did you think about the tender moment between Balthazar and Jason when he that moment? Yes. Did you? That were one? You did
when he confessed to him or at the
yeah no or when he confesses
the,
to him
or at the end when he tells him he's a commander all along.
No. Before that, but when he's like, I'm a liar.
Yeah.
How did you feel Tim Allen did? Did you buy? Was it a tender moment for you, or was it? Did it feel out of place for
this
you?
This is some signs of I can actually act a bit in Tim Allen's eyes in that scene there, you know, but I'll repeat this in sort of my ratings again. I just feel it's Tim Allen being Tim Allen. Like I fucked up. I need to fix my problems. And it's just, I don't know, but sure. It was a tender moment.
Yeah. I remember watching that movie for the first time and did you cry? I didn't cry.
I got teary.
I
was saying I had a note here. Like, I don't know how any of them acted with Balthazar with the straight face.
Yeah.
But what? Just anything. It's like, how could you be in the same room with this guy doing so this character?
Good. Is this your argument for why this is Tim Allen's best role? For that
Me too. Yes.
Scene right there.
I felt like he actually showed some acting chops in that moment. I did feel like, to your point, how did anybody do any scenes with Balthazar? Yeah. And I felt like he did a good job. Yeah. I think the only other like tender scene that was even comparable terrible was the Alan Rickman scene with the Teb character when Teb gets shot, and he finally does the "by Grabthar's hammer" moment.
Yeah,
and I thought that that was also a very sweet, tender moment. But to see Tim Allen hanging with Alan Rickman, who's known to be like a Shakespearean like, I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
That's why I would give Tim Allen. I'd say that this edges him out over Buzz Lightyear because Buzz Lightyear didn't really, I don't know, amazing character. But
Peely just took this character. This was Buzz Lightyear a little bit.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
his
yeah.
precursor to Buzz Lightyear, yes. right?
Yeah.
Bud Lightyear. Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
Tim Allen is like amazingly charismatic, has great presence. Like he's like.
Well, he's Tim Allen. Yeah. Yeah. He's just naturally like that. Yeah.
Have you guys seen the Tim Allen movie Jungle the Jungle?
I know it happened after that, after this movie.
Yes. Yeah. 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 That was another one that we had on VHS. And same thing. He plays I think he's very much like typecast. I'd love to see him do, if he is still doing movies, it'd be great to see him do like a villain or something. Like
he'll
a true villain.
He'll do Toy Story 6 or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Tim Allen, I'd like to see him be a bad guy.
Yeah. Me too.
See what like he can do there. Really,
yeah.
See what he can do there. Maybe someone takes a risk with him and puts him in some sort of gritty crime movie or something just a bad cocaine drug trafficker or something like that.
Yeah, he's got to have something.
Get back to his roots a little bit.
I don't know. It's got to be. Yeah, that's a fine line.
Someone took a chance on Tom Hanks one day and said, "Hey, maybe you could try doing something
or even,
serious."
Uncut Gems with you, Adam Sandler.
Someone took a chance on Tom Hanks.
Go fuck one yourself.
Well, come on. Come
yes,
on.
Yes.
Someone did. And.
I think Adam Sandler is not. I don't think there's much hate in the world for Adam Sandler, though. I think, like,
there are people who hate Tim Allen, yeah.
Yeah. I think there's just an overall, just kind of. Yeah. Distrust from him. Just people just don't.
Yeah. He does kind of give me the ick, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't want to hang out with Tim Allen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably what it is.
Depends if he brings a bag along or something.
There's probably a dark edge of Tim Allen that's why he has to kind of play
probably
a little bit more father figure most of the time, because if he goes in that direction, it's too real. It's too Johnny Depp. It's too, Kevin Spacey. It's like,
yes.
Whereas like Adam Sandler can play bad and you're like, you're still my guy. You're still Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas Adam Sandler played bad
in Uncut Gems.
Well, I was,
sort of. He was still like a
goof. Serious.
Still good hearted person.
Yeah, sort of. But he makes mistakes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a huge fuck up.
He's in that cheating movie. On his wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no.
He's.
Okay, know, maybe he's not a good person.
He's not a good person.
No, but he's not the villain in that movie. Would you say?
If I'm watching that movie,
I guess he's always
I'm
against
himself. That guy
I guess
sure.
he's against himself. He did it to himself,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, man versus himself.
Yeah. Mm, fair enough.
That movie took me like 3 or 4 sittings.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a very uncomfortable movie.
But it is very uncomfortable.
But I appreciated how he ended up.
Yes.
Nice. Like, I remember that being just like, oh, thank God.
Yes. Yeah. Happened. It was a very anxiety inducing yes. movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's see where Galaxy Quest ended. Oh, that's not it.
Oh, The Goonies.
I was trying to be all smart there.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
This is the part where we rate Galaxy Quest and we give it out of 5 jobs. Sean, you got a hard out at 12, right?
Yep.
We got 7 minutes. Okay, here we go. So
12:15. We're okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sean, what do you rate this movie?
Hey, I'm just going to read my synopsis. I gave it a 3. I used my JARP rating. So the points, you know, that brought it over mediocrity for me, most points were for a lot of laugh out loud moments that I haven't had in a while, but primarily caused by all the supporting cast moments. The visual effects I feel have not stood up to the sands of time, but luckily there's not too many that make it stick out. Tim Allen's just being Tim Allen as always, learning from his mistakes and trying to make right of all the shit that he stirred. I found it funnier than The Great Outdoors, but a Tim Allen-less lead might have added to the longevity of this film. I'd probably tell most people to pass, and I am sorry, Michaela, but
that's tragic.
You tell most people to pass
on this movie. I was thinking myself, if people, I don't think that's I'd wrong. Go up to him and say, hey, you should go watch Galaxy Quest tonight.
Oh, that's actually really surprises me with what I thought about you. I want to take back all the compliments that I gave you earlier. See.
Take it back.
You're not like Sam Rockwell at all.
I'm an asshole.
I'm an asshole. I give this a 4. It's a good freaking movie.
A 4?
Yeah, it's a good movie, man.
Is it better than The Great Outdoors?
Definitely. It's so much better than The Great Outdoors. It's like the writing, the characters, just like the movie within the movie, the story within the story. The Great Outdoors is an okay concept with some funny people that doesn't really hold
up. It's skits.
This like gets better and better. You can see stuff in it that you didn't see the first time. It's just a great commentary on fandom and sci-fi, the sci-fi genre. No, it's good. It's a good movie. Michaela?
I think I gave Showgirls like a 0.1 so or something like that. So this is like a
0.5?
Yeah. No, I'm going to give it the only... No, it's not a straight 5, and I'll tell you why. I think you touched on it a little earlier, Sean, about how Gwen's character was a little bit... like they were trying to do a comment on women, on the portrayal of women in sci-fi, and I feel like they could have maybe hit that home a little bit more. It was reactionary for them to give Lelaria, the woman squid lady, more. So for me, I am always looking for a little bit more from my movies in terms of like balance when it comes to gender. Right. So I'm going to knock off a point for that. And then there are a few like plot holes here and there, but nothing that detracted from the movie.
It's a goofy comedy. I mean, we can't expect it.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Nice.
Yeah, I love this movie.
Fair enough.
Stargazing quickly. No, you don't. Okay.
No, I don't think we have time for trivia today. No, Sorry, folks.
Totally fine. We don't need to do trivia every episode. I do want to tell you what I'm watching, though, Sean. I'm watching the Hayley Atwell's Howard's End, which is the Starz series. It's 4 episodes about
Howard's End.
About Howard's End. It's based off the novel, which also made a movie with Anthony Hopkins back in the day. Great show, everybody. Get on your Crave app. That's where we get Starz in Canada, and watch Howard's End. I also watched The Fall of House Usher.
Okay.
Me too.
I did not like it.
No, me neither.
Is that a full movie, right?
No, it's a series. Mike Flanagan series on Netflix. Obviously did Midnight Mass, which was amazing. And even, what's the other one that Mike Flanagan did before Midnight Mass?
House of something.
It's a House of Something. That's really good, too. But
The Haunting of Hill House.
Haunting of Hill House.
Thank you. That was good. Not as good as Midnight Mass.
He likes the same actors, too.
He uses a lot of the same actors again, which is great.
They're good actors.
They're fine.
But when
he has like a cheesy vibe.
I guess. You know who does that? Campy. Is American Horror Story does that too, but they do it really, really well.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I think they're trying to do a little bit of an American Horror Story and it just doesn't hold up.
Yeah, the characters just completely, though, they might use the same ones, but they're completely solid. 180.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Anyways, that's
amazing acting.
Yeah, I mean, at one point they're on like a Netflix app and one of the choices is like Gerald's Game, which is like a Mike Flanagan joint with most of the same actors that are in this show. So it's just, you know, it's very tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, but I saw Gerald's Game. That was interesting.
That was the sex one, right? Where her husband passes away with...
She's like strapped to a bed, but there's like, I don't know, some demon kind of morbid, disfigured guy locked her up. I don't know.
I didn't watch it, but it's based on a book.
If you like horror, I would say pass on The Fall. But watch... Hayley Atwell in Howard's End on Starz. And also all those Wes Anderson short movies came out on Netflix.
Yeah.
I tried to watch them. I tried to watch 2 of them. I couldn't get into it. But then
Edgar Allan Poe's short stories, aren't they?
Yeah, I didn't like the narration aspect of it, like how the actors were narrating it. So in honor of Wes Anderson, I watched Moonrise Kingdom, which is my favorite.
That's my favorite.
That's in a top 20.
And I had seen it before, but I had never seen The Life Aquatic of Steve
Zissou. Oh, I've never seen that one either.
And it was good.
Okay.
It's fun. Yeah, I recommend watching it. I enjoyed it. But anyways, that's what I've been watching.
Well, I haven't been busy to dip into anything new. I wanted to see Michaela wrote down Reservation Dogs. I wanted to check that out.
Yeah.
I've been lazy. I've still been just cruising on the Entourage, you know, the 20-minute. I know Russ doesn't like me for that. Sorry, I've started a train wreck. I got to finish it now. But me and you and our good friend Jason went and saw The Creator the other week, and I thought that was really good. No, I'm not off the top of my head because I've said this to other people. I give it a 7.5 out of 10.
Nice.
Oh. If it was based solely on visuals, I'd probably give it a 9.5 out of 10.
Oh,
yeah. Visually, it's an amazing movie. And what they did with $80 million, I was talking with a friend yesterday. He says you should go down the rabbit hole a little bit about this movie, some of the behind the scenes stuff and the choices he made, and how the director was really able to get the most out of his money for this film. So I haven't done that yet. Maybe next podcast I'll be able to come back with some details about that, but anyways, the creator, I recommend it. Go see it for sure. Kind of excited to see that new Scorsese flick that's out with Leonardo DiCaprio.
I think it's in theaters,
also based on a book.
And it's coming out on Apple TV pretty quick. I haven't heard anything bad about the movie, but I've heard some of the sorry if I'm using the
indigenous.
I almost said the aboriginal. That's not right.
It's not that it's not right. It's that I think
indigenous is more accepted. Okay.
Right now, anyways,
I believe the indigenous community isn't overly happy with the portrayal of it. I don't think they were up in arms about it, but I heard one interview of one indigenous person who was a bit of a spokesperson for this race or whatever.
Nation.
Sorry, I'm totally getting my terms wrong. Trying to be as PR here as I can. And saying that he would have liked to see more of a perspective of the indigenous point of view from all of these stories, rather than, he said they kind of made Leo's character seem like a bit of a hero.
Yeah, and I was wondering
savior.
He wasn't a hero.
So
you
even
know,
from
he
the was, trailers, I was getting that vibe, and my understanding of what the book is about is very much not that. So I'm not surprised to hear this, but I'd like to see it. But
I think it's very hard to put Leonardo DiCaprio in your movie and not be a star.
Yeah, and not give him at least some sort of a heroic
straight up
villain. Shutter Island though.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what? He wasn't really the good guy in Shutter Island, was he?
I can't remember Shutter Island.
Remember when he was in the insane asylum?
Yep.
I guess it wasn't really bad. He was just meant there. Okay.
Killers of the Flower Moon is the movie.
Yeah. And it's Halloween, so I'm going to break out scary movies here pretty soon. Start watching shitty scary movies.
I got to follow up on that. But Michaela, what are you watching?
Watching Reservation Dogs a couple of seasons in.
It's really good.
It is like one of the best things I've watched in a very long time.
Okay. Yes. I really got to get on that.
Yeah. If you're like going to watch something that is like culturally relevant, hilarious, but also you're going to feel and you're going to learn, watch Reservation Dogs. And then also another Taika Waititi.
The Flag Means
Death.
Yes.
Season 2. It's taken me a little bit. It's a bit of a tonal shift from the first season, but I'm starting to really like it. Again, I loved the first season. I am holding my feedback for like whether the second season stands up. Mm-hmm. Really hard in that kind of show to have it stand up. As far as scary movies go, we're going back and we've been watching all of the old Nightmare on Elm Street movies, which we've been like killing ourselves laughing. It's friggin' awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the first one is pretty good. Second one's okay, and then they get campy comical.
But in a way that like we're enjoying it.
Oh yeah, oh for sure, they're fun to watch. Freddy versus Jason's actually a fun
movie. I've actually never seen Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, it's good. We're working our way up. It's really good. And then obviously that being shot locally too, you'll notice all the locations and stuff like that. Yeah.
So working our way through that series, and then the other thing I don't know if I've talked to you about this, Russ. There's a show called Taskmaster, which is not like a
Taskmaster.
You haven't watched
Do Your Work.
Isn't that with the host?
Do Your Work.
Yeah. So there's Taskmaster is a show.
Like a reality game show kind of thing?
Kind of, yeah. They cast, there's two characters. There's the Taskmaster and the Taskmaster's assistant, played by Greg Davies and Alex Horn. Alex Horn is the creator of the show. And essentially they bring on a cast of comedians and actors who, over the series, over several episodes, compete to please the Taskmaster. And it's quite hilarious. All the tasks are like pop a water balloon from the farthest distance or whatever, and just watching a cast of like and very diverse cast, young, old actors, comedians,
just seeing all the creative things they come up with.
Yes. And so there's like a house that's kind of the central scene of all of the different tasks, and it hilarity ensues. So, and you can watch all of the series on YouTube for free. Highly recommend starting from the beginning.
Taskmasters.
Oh, I'm gonna text you guys about it afterwards because I can't get enough.
Taskmaster. excuse me, everybody. Speaking of horror movies,
what?
I got an email to the JARP podcast.
You got an email?
gmail.com. Feel free to email us. And it says, hello, guys. Movie recommendation time. I feel the horror scary movie genre doesn't get enough love from JARP. Also seeing it is October, and with Halloween 2 weeks away, I think it's a perfect time. I would love to hear your review on Hereditary.
Nice.
Whoa, that one makes me uncomfortable.
Have you seen it?
Russ is sweating now.
You don't like scary movies. Hereditary is going to
I really liked Midsommar, but it messed me
up. Oh, well, this will... No. Then you'll be... If you've seen Midsommar, you'll be fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a very
similar... Yeah, this won't haunt you as much as Midsommar.
Yeah. No, this is... This is very similar vibe where it's like just you feel anxious the whole movie.
Yeah.
Hereditary is one of those as well.
Wait. Yeah. This is going to be great.
Oh, I'm excited for you guys. That's going to be awesome.
Okay. Well, time is of the essence, so I'm sorry. We are going to skip movie trivia today. I have to get my daughter to cheerleading. I'm so sorry.
No. You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do.
Thanks, Mikhail.
Yeah. You know what?
Thanks for having me again.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Anytime, Mikhail, you're welcome back. Anytime. And Gertie, you can stop licking my balls now, okay?
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, cause it's now.
I never watched Galaxy Quest. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Oh. And you know what? I forgot to say I love you.
I love you.
Oh.